you're telling me you haven't had one? Welcome to a bonus episode of Buena Vista. I'm Andrew, and I'm Jareth the Goblin King from the 1986 movie Labyrinth. My hair is all teased to fuck, my codpiece is strapped up tight, and my leggings are leaving absolutely nothing to the imagination. I'm surrounded by all my nasty little wormy guys, and they're laughing and giggling and pissing and having a great old time. And yet, I yearn for more. And that's why I've pulled into my world the object of my desires, the lovely yet ungrateful Sarah, who has wished to be anywhere but in dull suburbia with her stupid loving parents, and her baby brother who selfishly refuses to control his emotions, is Lucy.
Hi, you're a lot older than me.
Yeah, how old
are you? That's one thing that I'm noticing. I think I'm like a teenager.
Yeah.
I feel quite youthful.
I believe you're 16 years old.
I believe so. And like your dick's like it's mostly out.
Yeah. I mean, I like to make a good impression. Like, is this...
And this is David Bowie playing this part, you said.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Exposing himself to a teenager. Just,
yeah, I mean, like... If I'm the king, I can make whatever laws I like, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Maybe we could spend a while getting to know each other. I haven't really thought this through, to be honest, before I wrenched you in here from another world. Hey, is that a giant pug with horns walking on his back legs that you've got there with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of fucked up. He's steering rocks around.
That's weird. Disgusting. Awful.
Yeah.
Should be put to death.
Also with us is Hoggle, a nasty little guy covered in warts, and he dipped his dick in the bog of eternal stench. It's Theo.
Hey, what's up? You know, I got a special kind of worms that are extra big just for me.
You know the worm that Sarah runs into that's like, don't go that way, go the other way.
No, I haven't seen Labyrinth.
Oh, get the fuck.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Gen X dad's angry.
There's so much to watch. Why am I going to watch stupid old movies? I could be
maybe
watching.
You would have watched it as a child. What movies did you watch when you were a kid? Is the
Let
answer none of them?
I don't know if I was really allowed to watch movies.
Do this math worksheet instead, son.
No, I was never. I was never made to do things. I think I was too busy. Like playing on my PC.
Okay.
Yeah. Had those little floppy disks that got SharePoint. They got call it? Shareware games on there. Get Jazz Jackrabbit going.
Oh, yeah. I loved a little Jazz Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
It's probably the first game I remember playing. It's good shit.
You just play the first level of Duke Nukem over and over, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So no heading down to the Video Easy for you.
I mean, look, there's when I was older, absolutely. But like by then, Labyrinth would have been like 100 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I could be watching Die Hard.
Yeah, I guess so. You should be watching. Everybody should be watching Die Hard when you think about
especially
it.
Especially as we come into Christmas.
Because when you think about it, it is a movie that teaches us the most important lesson of all. You should be shooting Europeans with a gun.
Oh. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
If somebody starts Christmas talking to you with a funny accent, just unclip on your holster and just keep your hand there, just in case. Because some people might speak to you with what appears to be a normal, like, American-style accent, but then they reveal themselves to be a European villain later.
Some sort of filthy pan-European.
Ugh.
Yeah. Smelly. Bang, bang, bang. And I'm saying this, I'm the guy who dipped his dick in...
The stench
the bog of eternal stench.
Bog of eternal stench,
And that is why the tip of his dick smells like that.
And it's really take a stench, leave a stench.
it's like one of those...
Leaving a bit of me in there.
Yeah. It's like a soup base or a mole that's been going for like 50 years.
What do you call it? Eternal soup.
Yeah. The bog of eternal soup. That's the one. You know, there's another kind of European you should be brandishing your gun at when you see him. That's right. We're talking about those Dutch motherfuckers. It's time for Dutch Watch.
Hey, everybody. I'm from Holland. Isn't that beer?
This comes to us from the one and only DutchNews.nl. Thieves steal 15 beehives from Limburg beekeeper.
Where are you going with all that?
It's a very, this seems to me like, and don't say to me that you haven't seen this movie, Theo, this seems very much like something that the bad guys from Home Alone would do. This would be their next. Oh, wow.
I've probably seen it on a school bus.
Oh, yeah, he's home alone. Drive.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a very funny thing to steal.
On his PC. I mean, how else are you going to get honey? What easier way? I've been re-watching some of the Jackass movies recently. Fine cinema. Fine cinema to be had. And I'll tell you, the Jackass 3D even looks great in 2D. But they have a number of like things they do with bees and beehives and stuff in that.
There's a lot of bees, yeah.
And they like they really only need to get into the vicinity of the beehives to start getting stung. They're not like prodding at them. They're not making contact with them. They just get like into the realm of the beehives and they're getting stung immediately.
The bees are starting off as they intend to go on.
Yeah, and I feel like...
That's stinging themselves to death.
I feel like the process of stealing 15 beehives, you got to be confident.
You'd probably wear a beekeeper outfit, maybe. Oh.
I mean, it's the perfect disguise, too.
I need to sell enough honey to afford the beehive, the beekeeper costume, which is, you know, a big part of the problem.
I'd just steal the honey, personally, but you
it's
do
like
you.
Lie underneath the tap with your mouth open?
But then you're going to be pulling jobs every week.
Mm.
Right? If you want more honey, you got a taste for it now.
Beekeeper's starting to like mark the line of where the honey's up to. It's weird. Okay, every time I come out here, there should be more honey. A beekeeper in Niederwirth in Limburg has reported the theft of 15 beehives containing thousands of bees, leaving just a single hive.
At least I left one.
Do you think that's like insult to injury or do you think that's like, look, I'm going to leave you a little something to go with?
Yeah, I think it's I'm going to leave you a little something, you know, like seems rude to take it all. You can repopulate bees with your one beehive.
Is it like the, like how, you know, in some cultures you should leave a bite of food uneaten on the plate because if you scrape it clean, you're essentially saying you didn't give me enough food.
Is that a real one?
I think it was once upon a time.
Damn.
I think, all right, in my far distant memory, where I'm remembering this from is from like Chinese culture, but during like a period of particular scarcity, right? So if somebody gives you some food and you scarf it all down and lick the plate clean, you're essentially spitting in their face and you are saying,
yeah,
hey,
fuck you, man.
Why not give me some more food, motherfucker?
Yeah,
but if you leave a little mouthful on there, you're saying, hey, I'm all full. I'm all good. You've been kind. You've fed me well. So maybe by leaving one beehive,
that's the
you're
concept
saying,
that's happening with the beehives. I'm
maybe
yummy, yummy.
You're saying, hey, that's enough bees for me. Don't even worry about it.
I don't need any more bees.
I know I have stolen 15 of your beehives, but don't worry that I don't have enough bees now.
Yeah.
You know? Don't
yeah.
stress.
Don't worry stress. About it. Don't worry about me.
Harry Fagen? Fagen?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Harry Vagine.
Steely Dan.
Harry Vagine.
Harry Vagine.
Harry Vagine.
Harry Vagine.
Oh, that's comedy, baby.
Oh. It's late on a Wednesday night. And we're laughing at the good stuff. Harry Fasheen, who is 86 and has been keeping bees for 25 years, said that the thieves cut through wire to access the orchard and made away with the hives late on Tuesday night.
He didn't start beekeeping until he was an old man. You know, there's
yeah,
time for
until
us.
That hair was going grey.
Mm-hmm. It's never too late.
It's time for a sea change. I have yearned long for the bees. I have long thought there is not enough ambient noise in my life.
I think the dull buzz of some beehives would be actually really quite pleasant, quite calming.
Absolutely.
Well, see, you say that, right? It'd be pleasant. It'd be soothing. What happens when you get up one morning and you think, I can only hear about a 16th of the buzzing
that I can normally hear? A 16th of the usual drone.
Yeah.
I can hear my own thoughts.
Vulgar.
Fajin said the thieves, quote, went to some trouble, end quote, getting the hives, which were situated a few hundred meters from the road and weigh some 50 to 60 kilos each.
Is that what a beehive weighs?
50 to 60 kilos each times...
Of a large child or a regular...
A regular woman.
How much does a supermodel weigh, Lucy? You think?
Probably less than that. Mm. I weigh like 60 kilos. That's a heavy beehive. It's the size of a woman.
Yeah.
Size of a woman.
Or it could be the size of a man as well.
It could be the size. There would be nothing wrong with it if it was the size of an usual guy.
Plenty of guys are 60 kilos.
Could be the size of some podcasters.
Yeah.
Could be the size of anyone on this podcast.
Just imagine how far you could throw me. Especially if you were
holding that beehive.
Stomping about.
I got on a scale for the first time in a long time recently, and I was like, oh. Oh, it's like that. Okay. I had a little moment with myself. Oh, you're not what you thought you were.
Yeah, I'm not the first one to say it, but...
Damn.
Working from home is treats time. My time spent in the cupboard and in the fridge looking for treats, kind of like rifling.
I've been eating so many treats today. So we got Halloween chocolates, and then nobody came on to our street like one kid did. So it's just baskets and baskets of Freddo frogs.
You think there's going to be a lot more kids? I got two kids showed
like
up
in
my
general?
Door.
Yeah, you think there's going to be more kids
in the world? Yeah,
I thought there'd be more kids.
And that's two kids showed up at my door at like 3:45 p.m. While I was in a work meeting.
That's a fucked up time.
That's a fucked up time to show up.
And I get to the door, and it is two kids, and they are both wearing identical hoodies with the embroidered logo of what I assume is their dad's business.
Is that the costume?
They are both wearing black shorts and sneakers and holding open they each have just like a Woolworths plastic bag. And they very sheepishly said, trick or treat. Frankly, they looked embarrassed about it.
They should have been. Should have been fuck off.
3:45. That's a...
Like, trick, bitch. Blast them with a fire extinguisher, you know?
Yeah.
Can't come around fucking around like that. I put up my decorations, and you're going to come here in your dad's hoodie.
Yeah.
Although they were like,
chocolate. No, you're watching an ISIS beheading video.
Don't look away. I wonder who would go to such lengths, he told the local broadcaster, Limburg One. He also said that whoever took the hives was knowledgeable about both where to find them and how to handle them. The hives have to be completely closed off and kept upright, or the bees will escape, he said. Oh, they were a real expert. They knew enough to know that if you open the beehive, the bees will get out.
Toyota Yaris boot just completely full. Beehives just rolling around.
Just shoving them in there. Just getting the beehive to your Toyota Yaris, opening up the passenger side door, then opening the top of the beehive and going, quick, get in. Guys, where are you going? That's not the right way to do it. You got to be a pro like this guy. According to beekeeper Phil Appledorn, Dutch beehives are considered to be of good quality.
Well, fucking Dutch beekeeper would say that.
Yeah.
Ours are the best in the world. I want to see a Dutch beehive real quick.
I want to see a Belgian beehive.
Sounds like a sex move.
It's a Belgian beehive.
Dutch beehive.
Big group of people running around stinging each other, you know?
Yeah, that's what the Dutch beehive is, Dutch, for sure.
Well, like stinging with your dick, you know what I mean? Jabbing in and out.
Obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, jeez. They got these Dutch beehive baskets going on, but they don't look anything special, to be completely
honest. You don't think there's anything particularly special about the Dutch beehive itself?
I'm just, look, I'll be honest, I'm trying to find what pictures I can, and they appear a
lot. It looks like they got bees over there.
They look a lot like beehives that I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
I, too, am an expert who understands that you got to keep the bees
inside. Sounds like you know a lot about beehives, and that's just interesting.
Quote, "Hives which are stolen are taken abroad and sold, bees and all," said Appledoon. Well, what good's the hive without the bees, honestly?
Yeah.
It's kind of a package deal.
Yeah, well, do you just want the hive? Really, they're taken abroad. That sounds... How good can this beehive be?
How good can the bees be?
How good can the bees be? Special Dutch bees, they speak Afrikaans.
Oh, you got a colony of racist bees in there? Interesting. A beehive costs around 150 euro, while a colony of bees costs around 200 euro. Double that if there's honey in the hive.
Double if there's honey.
You got honey in that hive? Hey, babe.
Oh, you got a honeyless hive? No deal, no deal, no deal. Come back when you got some honey in there.
Apparently, I should be selling my native bees.
You can, like, sell
can you do that?
Yeah. So the hive I've got is three levels, and you're supposed to be able to take the middle level and just fucking chuck it in a different beehive, and then your dudes will like recreate the middle level, and then there's the like other slice will go and colonize the other one. You make money that way, but I'm
native
too
bees,
fucking lazy.
Native bees don't make honey?
No, they make honey, but they make less of it, and it's really, like, intense, gamey
honey. Gamey honey.
Well, they make dirty honey. Okay.
Nasty honey.
Is the honey good?
I don't know. I've never tried it. I was like the little guys, you know?
So you got yourself a beehive, you put it in your yard, and he said, yeah, look, and now you'll mind your business and I'll mind my business.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We know.
You're not doing, there's no kind of maintenance happening? There's...
What are you doing?
I'm genuinely,
like,
asking. I don't know what's involved
in keeping a
native beehive.
You don't got to do shit. And in return, you don't get shit. It's fantastic.
They just kind of exist. Okay.
Yeah, they're vibing over there. Occasionally, like,
they're vibing. You're vibing.
Once every 3 months, they'll start beef with another hive nearby, and then there'll just be thousands of dead bees on the ground.
Oh, they got hive beef?
Yeah, they got hive beef. And, damn, like, one of the sides wins, so it's like hive v hive, and they all go at it like Mortal Kombat for a while. And then one of the hives wins, but it's impossible to tell which one. And either the one that lives there continues living there, or the one that was attacking wins and they move in and you have some identical looking bees.
They got to start wearing like shirts and skins or something.
Yeah.
You
know? Here's a thought. This will really help. Just go over, put your beekeeper costume on, which I assume you have one of. And if you don't have one, I don't know why you do. Don't. And then just crack it open and spray paint your bees.
Oh, yeah, tag your bees.
Tag your bees, yeah.
Yeah.
Tag your bees. Pick a color that you like. And then if you do have access to the other local beehive, maybe you can do red and blue, you know? Get some teams going.
You could dress them up. You could put little outfits on them.
Yeah.
You could dress them up like the gangs from the Warriors. Be
give
real
them
cute.
The
oh.
You could give them the drip. You could drip up your bees.
Yeah. The bees ball furies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks, Andrew.
And I'm assuming Theo hasn't seen
the I'd Warriors. Call them the furries.
No, I haven't seen the Warriors. Yeah, that's good. All right. We will arrive at one movie I've seen tonight. Come
we'll
on.
Get there.
We'll get there. All right. I'm going to keep throwing them out and we'll see what happens. It is not the first time beehives have been targeted by thieves. Last year's beekeepers reported 11 thefts, prompting some to install GPS trackers inside the hives.
Wow.
Again, ankle monitor bracelets on each of the bees.
That'd be so cute. Little bee ankles.
It would enable you to track your bees and also to tell the difference between your bees and other bees.
Can't believe this is beehive stealing underground.
Other countries, such as Britain, France, and the United States, have also reported an increase in thefts. The biggest bee heist took place in Canada some 7 years ago, when 181 beehives were stolen in one night, containing 5 million bees.
That's what I'm talking about.
Count them, though, the bees. Like,
that's
either a little or a lot.
How many bees are in there? Yeah.
It's just a guesstimate.
Yeah.
This also caused hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage. The thief was eventually caught, but the bees had flown. This guy didn't know you got to keep the lid on the hive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know. You're a pro.
Do you reckon they're hitting up cash converters down there every day? Like, you guys had any
beehives?
How
much can I get for this? And they're like, oh, probably like 20 bucks.
Is there any bees in it? Yeah, there's fucking tons of bees in
I'll
there.
I'll give you double if there's honey in it. $12. That's what they say down at cash converters.
Yeah, because they don't pay you very much for your stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Get how much will
all
you
the,
give me
all
for
all the serial numbers filed off your bee boxes.
Oh, have all of their little ankle monitors been smashed with a hammer? Hmm. Suspicious. Folks, I hate to tell you this. I fucking hate to tell you this. But we have two Dutch stories. It's time for Dutch Watch. That's right, we're having Netherlands Corner and Dutch Watch in one night. From the NL Times, the only other publication in the Netherlands as far as we are concerned. FC Twente director asks fans to stop singing homophobic songs.
What's FC Twente?
A
football
team,
club?
Football?
I assume.
I guess so. Go on.
So it's come to this. Please.
All right. Tell
Please
me
stop.
The songs.
I wonder, football club Twente, sometimes known internationally as FC Twente Enschede, is a Dutch professional football club from the city of Enschede. All right. If you say so. The club was formed in 1965 by the merger of 1926 Dutch champions Sport Club Enschede with the Enschede Boys. Come on. General Director Paul van der Kraan pleaded with FC 20 fans, please, to stop singing homophobic songs during matches.
Please.
Please, come on.
Come on.
He responded to chants during the Eredivisie match against Heracles Almelo, 2-2 was the final score on Sunday, when FC 20 fans briefly chanted, "It's the gays from Almelo." That's translated from Dutch. I thought it was going to be more complicated than that, to be honest. It's
just like, you guys are gay. Oh,
that's so quaint.
Oh, that's so great. That's like 2005 chant.
Imagine this in like the NRL. It's the gays from Penrith. Like, so simple. So simple.
They're a simple people, beautiful in their own way. And yet... disgusting.
Quote. During the match, some FC supporters sang a song about gays. People were rightly disturbed by this and felt hurt, van der Kraan said on the FC 20 website on Friday. I would like to ask our supporters to never sing songs about gays again.
Oh, no, you fucked up. You've shown weakness.
No, yeah. Well, you can sing good songs.
They're going to jump on that.
There's plenty of good songs about gays.
It is reprehensible to insult and hurt people with a song. It doesn't matter how it is intended or where it comes from. It just doesn't fit and really adds nothing. If it was adding something, I'd take the homophobic song, if it was contextually relevant. Supporters of FC 20 are known for their repertoire of great songs. We don't need these kinds of texts at all.
What if it had a really good beat?
Yeah, like what if it was fire?
What if we added some vuvuzelas?
Yeah.
Honking on those bad boys.
Here's what I'm thinking. What if they were dropping straight bars and it just happened to be homophobic?
Yeah.
No action was taken in the stadium because the chants ended quickly. The rules prescribe that the stadium speaker must warn fans in the event of mass or prolonged chants. The referee must stop the match if the chants don't stop after two warnings.
Why is there so much chanting going on at the Dutch football?
It's just football. It's just football. They love getting a good chant going, right? Football. Perpetrators could face a stadium ban of up to 18 months. Wow. Imagine being banned from your favorite stadium, unable to call people gay for 18
it's
whole months.
It's the gays from El Miller.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Oh, I was really hoping for something a bit more complicated than that.
But how much more complicated can you make it, you know? Almelo, of course, is a municipality in the Netherlands. And another word for a municipality is a region. It's time for regional bullshit.
Regional bullshit. Every little town has got their own bullshit. Regional bullshit. Every little town has just got to have it.
From Liverpool World.
Where's that based?
Liverpool shopkeepers urged to not sell these items on Mischief Night.
What is Mischief Night in Liverpool?
I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory, and I don't want to be there when it happens. Merseyside police have issued a stark warning to local residents ahead of Mischief Night, Halloween, and Bonfire Night.
Just very quickly. Are they the same night?
Just quickly Googling Mischief Night.
Are these three separate nights or are these the same night?
It doesn't seem to be.
What is Halloween if not Mischief Night?
Mischief Night, an informal holiday on which children, teenagers, and adults engage in jokes, pranks, vandalism, or parties. It is known by a variety of names, including Devil's Night, Gate Night, Goosey Night, Moving Night,
Moving Night,
Cabbage Night, Mystery Night, and of course, Matt Night.
I need to know what goes on with the cabbages.
The earliest references to Mischief Night is from 1790.
Ooh.
When a headmaster encouraged a school play which ended in an ode to fun, which praises children's tricks on Mischief Night in most approving terms. There's all the naming variations.
It's like Mac-up Day, but in life.
Right? For everyone.
It's for like everybody. Mac-up Day, but in life.
Yeah.
So in rural Niagara Falls, Ontario... Ontario, someone will probably be mad. During the 1950s and 1960s, Cabbage Night, or in French, Nuit de Chou, referred to the custom of raiding local gardens for leftover rotting cabbages and hurling them about to cause mischief in the neighborhood.
How many gardens have rotting cabbages that this has become like viable as a night?
The night is still celebrated in Ontario.
Incredible. I love this.
West Katune, Vancouver Island, Thunder Bay and Winnipeg, all in Canada, also call it Gate Night. In English-speaking Quebec, it is known as Mat Night, where a tradition of stealing front doormats developed.
Well, Devil's Night is a common name. That's very rude behavior.
What's your front doormat, Lucy?
It's nothing weird.
Is it funny? Is this a Star Wars reference?
Does it have anything written on it?
It's just got some nice birds on it. I'm just thinking about all the, you know, like ones that Americans have that are like, don't come in unless you brought coffee or you're the UPS guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We currently have a different doormat swapped in. We have a bat with little eyes and fangs. He's a doormat, but he's also a bat.
Oh, yeah. Little Halloween guy.
Well, yeah, because Halloween has passed. It's true. If you're looking at your calendar right now and freaking the fuck out, it's true. It has passed. But we are having a Halloween party on Saturday night.
You got to keep decorations up.
I hope that nobody comes past the house and thinks that's a real skeleton climbing out of my front yard.
Yeah.
They might.
Do a quick check of the calendar. Mm-hmm. Halloween's passed.
In parts of Yorkshire, it's known as Mischievous Night or the shortened. Okay, what would you think they would shorten this to?
Is it Mischief Night?
Mischief Night?
Wrong. Cheevous Night.
Come on now.
I've got to get my Cheevous Night, dude.
I'm going to get my Cheevous on tonight. I don't know about you guys. I feel like getting Cheevous. Known,
also, I'm feeling Cheevous tonight, baby.
Getting Cheevous with it.
The classic Yorkshire hit. From the year 2000. In parts of Yorkshire, Mischievous Night, the shortened Cheevous Night, Miggy Night, Tic Tac Night, Corn Night.
Well, with a C or a K?
Mickey Night. Mickey Night, or one of my favorites, Trick Night. In some areas of Yorkshire, it is extremely popular among 13-year-olds as they believe it to be a sort of coming-of-age ceremony.
Yeah.
In and around the city of Liverpool, Mischief Night is known locally as Mizzy Night.
All right. Let's get to it. Tell us about Mizzy Night.
I'm just mizzing out.
And what were we talking about? The items shopkeepers can't sell. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to know about that, too. I just can't fucking believe how many really dumb,
really regional variations of this thing I've never fucking heard of.
Although the Halloween period is a fun time of year for many, for the people of Merseyside, the lead up can be filled with dread. As Mischief Night sees mindless vandalism. Taking place on October 30th, yes, which I do understand to traditionally be Devil's Night.
Hmm.
Mischief Night began as harmless pranks and tricks, but has become troublesome over the years, with cars and house windows being smashed with bricks, eggs being thrown, fireworks being let off in the street and aimed at people, plus other acts of vandalism. If I was writing that sentence, I would have started off with the eggs and fireworks and worked up to...
And kind of moved up to the cars getting smashed and set on fire and stuff.
Somebody hurling a brick through the front window of my house would bother me a lot more
than
an egg.
Hmm.
You know?
I don't think any pranks and tricks are harmless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just me.
Someone got so mad at me on the internet once for saying that I think that just generally pranks are bad.
They're bad. They're not good. They're not funny. Net good on the world. They're also not funny.
I think that the modern conception of a prank now, which you do for YouTube, and it involves you going up to someone and saying, give me your car keys, you know, or something cool like that. Not really a prank. And
well, pranks are fake now too, which makes them even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true.
Do you reckon it was a prank when the Coney 2012, is that right?
You think Coney was a prank?
No. I mean, he was probably real, right? I don't really.
That's
a long time ago.
Strange thing. I don't really know what any of that was or was true.
But was it a prank when he jacked off in the street?
Did he jack off in the street?
Yeah.
This is the first time you're in here. Are you pranking us, bro?
No,
are
I'm not pranking you. Dude, I would never prank you.
Are you pranking me, bro? You having a crap of me?
No.
Coney.
You're just Googling Coney 2012 jacking off in the street.
And we probably sorted out the Coney part too.
I'm Googling against my better judgment. Under 30. Coney 2012 masturbating. Coney 2012 guy arrested for masturbating in public. Okay. The filmmaker, not Coney himself.
Oh.
Yeah, it was it was not Joseph Coney, the Ugandan rebel leader.
No, well, you were saying that Coney guy jacking off out in the street, and it really painted a picture to me. My goodness. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure the two things were that related. This article from New York Magazine says, well, this is one way to celebrate having the most viral video ever. Agreed. Jason Russell, a co-founder of Invisible Children, the group behind the Coney 2012 campaign, was reportedly arrested last night after, quote, he was found masturbating in public, vandalizing cars, and possibly under the influence of something.
Was it? No, it was March 15th, so it wasn't even...
It wasn't even Mischief Night.
Chiefy Night.
He wasn't chieving.
He wasn't chieving. He wasn't, like, on his chievish shit.
The 33-year-old was allegedly seen, quote, in various states of undress, running through traffic and screaming, and TMZ says he was wearing Speedo-like underwear.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that man was having a hard time that
night.
Yeah,
that man was not having a good day.
That was the wrong kind of mischief, I think. Merseyside police say extra high visibility police officers will be patrolling neighborhoods between October 30th and November 5th, and dispersal zones will be put in place in Sefton, Wirral, Liverpool, Knowsley, and St. Helens. If for any reason there are reports of antisocial behavior and criminal damage throughout the Halloween and bonfire night period. Now I just need to run back to the start of that paragraph and say that when I read... that they say there will be extra high visibility police officers.
Yeah, what are you picturing?
I'm picturing neon. Visible, right?
Yeah. I'm picturing they got glow sticks, they got neons, they got the glow necklace on.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. The force is also urging shopkeepers not to sell any items. Here we go, Lucy. As eggs.
No eggs. No eggs. 1 week, no eggs.
Well, it's going to be a lot of... Here's the irony. There's going to be a bunch of bodybuilders that become so angry that they can't have their egg white omelets. They're going to be turning over cars.
Picturing an elderly Liverpool man just getting so fucking angry in the shop in a really English way that he can't have
fucking eggs.
Big bucket of hot gravy and no eggs to put in it.
World's gone mad.
No eggs. There'll be peas and no eggs.
No eggs, right? And you're thinking to yourself, maybe there's another way I can make my pancakes, but no flour either.
Oh, Jesus.
No eggs, no flour.
What am I going to batter all my food in? Because I'm English.
How else am I meant to make my yellow meal?
Going to have just like unbattered everything.
You want me to have just a regular potato, huh?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to have a normal potato? You want me to have an unbattered potato?
No eggs, no flour, no cans of shaving foam, as well as ensuring that fireworks are not sold to under 18s.
All right.
So no one's allowed to have any eggs, and also maybe fireworks only to some people.
Yep, explosives only for the 18-year-olds. Damage caused from throwing eggs and flour or any objects at windows, doors, cars, and people is a criminal offence.
What's the crime?
What is the crime?
Oh, cool. I was out of eggs. Yeah. Couldn't buy any.
Now vandalism is illegal?
The Merseyside police have gone woke.
This is what they took from you.
Commander for the policing operation, Chief Inspector Duncan Swan.
Said, come on.
Duncan Swan.
Pastoral ass motherfucker.
Said, quote,
as you will know, Halloween and Bonfire Night are always a busy period for all the emergency services because of a small number of young people who tend to act in an antisocial and irresponsible manner.
That's not a Liverpool accent, is it, Andrew?
Nah, I'm no, I'm still idea. Whatever. All right, you hit me with yours, Lisa.
No. I was just being critical.
I'm fine. I can just barbs I can make the sideline. Look, I'll make as much space as you like to hear a woman's voice doing a beautiful Liverpudlian accent.
I'm all good.
My mum and my grandparents from Liverpool, still not doing it.
Residents can also take some simple steps to prevent incidents, such as bringing your wheelie bin in to prevent them from being set alight, which can have devastating or fatal consequences.
Victim blaming.
Well, was your bin out, madam?
Yeah, did you put your bin out?
However, it is not all doom and gloom, as for the past 2 years, we have seen a reduction in the number of incidents and antisocial behaviour and criminal damage across Merseyside.
Chief Inspector Swan continued.
Like during the pandemic?
Yeah, probably, right? Past 2 years?
Shut up. Chief Inspector Swan continued,
I would appeal to young people, please have a think about your actions and the consequences of any reckless behaviour might have on others, particularly elderly people. And just imagine if it was your nan or granddad that was feeling frightened.
Are you imagining it, Theo? Imagine Viv's frightened.
She doesn't live there, though. That's someone else that lives there.
Imagine she was frightened and was trying to communicate it to you via text message.
Yeah.
Imagine your nan's bin is on fire.
Imagine you wouldn't set your nan's bin on fire. You know, you wouldn't download a car.
No one should have to suffer or be a victim of antisocial behaviour.
Merseyside Fire and Rescue Service, MFRS, MFRS, which I would have thought was the motherfuckers, but I'd be wrong. It's also asking local residents to take simple action to help reduce the amount of deliberate fires involving wheelie bins, bonfires, and rubbish, known as secondary fires, which can spread quickly and put lives and nearby properties at risk. This kind of sounds like a riot.
Yeah, I don't know if setting bins on fire is just cheapest activity, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
Like.
Does sound fun, though.
Yeah, I think I'd start feeling bad pretty quickly. Maybe the solution is that everyone just sets their own bin on fire.
Yeah.
And then
you've
you
got
get
two
the,
bins.
Yeah. You get the fun of setting a wheelie bin on fire, but you don't have to feel bad about frightening someone's nan.
Yeah, It was very easy for them to pin the blame then as well. Because they probably check you first.
Well, yeah, they can say, hey, who set your bin on fire? And you go, oh, that was me. And they go,
you can only set your nan's bin on fire.
Oh.
Set your own nan's bin on fire.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Do you really want to be mischievous? On this night, how badly do you want to be mischievous?
She'll lean out the window going, who's out there? And you go, just me,
it's me
Nan.
It's me, Nan.
It's just me.
Motherfuckers group manager for community safety, Franny Hill, said, quote,
wheelie bins can be an easy target, so we're asking you bring your bins in as soon as you can after collection day. Be a good neighbour. And take in your neighbour's bins too if you can.
I'll never.
And here's great advice for everybody.
never give combustible materials to anyone. And if you see any build-up of bonfire material, please report it on the motherfucker's website. Please help us help you by having conversations with young people, your family and friends, about understanding the impact of deliberate fires on our fire service and the wider Merseyside community.
I don't know about you, but I am absolutely not going into the street and striking up a conversation with a young chav.
Yeah.
Hey, are you planning to do any mischief?
You're getting your you're getting Chivas tonight?
Yeah. Hey, stop juggling that knife just for a moment. Let's have a chat about responsibility.
Yeah. You seem to have slipped and buried your switchblade in my abdomen, sir. Good day.
It's a prank, bro.
Oh, that's how they get you these days. This, on a similar subject, comes to us from nj.com. I'm assuming New Jersey.
New Jersey. Go on then. Let's run with that.
All right, Lucy, I need your best Tony Soprano in the duration of this. Is Mischief Night dying? The naughty history and uncertain future of an NJ tradition. Mischief Night in Elmwood Park seems like it used to be a bigger deal.
Oh, it's the problem that there's not enough fires and stuff going on.
Yeah, the mischief's a little lacking this year, you know? Could we dial up the mischief by 20%?
Yeah,
please.
Just 20.
We want you out there. Go in goblin mode.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. You know, we don't want you getting out of control. We want an appropriate amount of mischief. When October 30th arrived in the mid-1980s, hordes of teens in the Bergen County suburb would gather in a parking lot off Gilbert Avenue, not far from the woods. I'm picturing them coming streaming out of the woods.
Yeah.
You know? Like a group of rabid mongoose? Mongooses. I'm going to guess.
Like little weasel guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
How like that?
We went to Fiji a week or two ago. And when we were like getting a transfer from the airport to our hotel, we were talking to this guy who was driving us. And we were like, are there a lot of snakes in Fiji? And he was like, not really, because there's a lot of mongoose.
That rules.
Yeah.
He was like,
they got them in Hawaii.
Yeah, they're just out there getting all the snakes. And I went, huh, cool.
We should introduce them here.
We should what just introduce wrong? Them. What could go wrong? Let's get another one. New animal.
What could go
New wrong? Animal, quick.
I'm sick of seeing the same ones.
It was an ideal location for escaping any police officers responding to nuisance complaints during a night of pre-Halloween pranks.
That's the perfect plan. Quick, flee into the woods. The police can't find us in there.
The police will never find us.
They can't go into the woods.
No.
Quote, we didn't do anything crazy. We threw eggs. We soaped cars. You know, wash my car for me?
Yeah, free car wash.
There was a couple hundred of us, said Michael Foligno, a 1986 graduate. Yeah. A 1986 graduate of Elmwood Park High School who said the night of mischief was known as Goosey Night when he was growing up.
Things used to be called stupid names, not like now.
People used to say stupid things.
Yeah.
Good on them. Nearly four decades later, Foligno is the police chief in his hometown, giving him a much different perspective on Mischief Night, the night before Halloween tradition that has endured in various forms in New Jersey and elsewhere since at least the 1930s. October 30th was still a busy night when Foligno joined the police department in 1990, but in recent years, it's gotten relatively quiet, he said. Quote, I don't want to jinx myself or give somebody motivation to prove me wrong, but it has dwindled over the years, the police said. The police chief said, issuing a direct challenge to the youth of the area. Whether you call it Mischief Night, Goosey Night, Cabbage Night, or Devil's Night.
Thank you, Michael.
The October 30th tradition of pranks and mayhem in New Jersey has grown decidedly less mischievous, according to several officials contacted by NJ Advance Media. How mischievous would you say Mischief Night is currently compared to 10 years ago? It's calling people. Ocean County Sheriff Michael Mastronardi has observed the evolution of Mischief Night over more than half a century in law enforcement, including 22 years as police chief in Toms River, home to what organizers say is the second largest Halloween parade.
Half a century in law enforcement's a fucked up thing. That's fucked up, man. You're old.
That's... You need to cut it out.
Retire, bitch.
Mm-hmm. There was a time when municipalities were sufficiently concerned enough to erect roadblocks on October 30th, he said. In recent years, reports of problematic behavior have lessened, Mastronardi said. Quote, minor criminal mischief, but nothing crazy. It doesn't have the lure it once did, Mastronardi said. Theories abound as to why things changed. Guys, you got any? Fortnite?
Woke. Fortnite. Yep. Kids always on
fentanyl.
Kids are on their dang phones.
So
kids don't care about getting cheevous anymore. They care about TikTok.
Maybe they're just bullying each other to suicide on their phones as a form.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
All the bullying's gone online now. It's kind of sad to see.
Now they're throwing toilet paper at each other's houses in Meta. In Facebook Meta.
It'd be so fucked up if the teens were in Meta.
It would be super fucked up.
My goodness.
I like how Meta is like less of a cultural force than like Habbo Hotel.
Oh, yeah. Habbo Hotel's had a way bigger cultural impact.
Some note that teens have far more entertainment options than a generation ago, starting with near ubiquitous access to cell phones.
Oh, they got games on their phones now.
Right. Kids used to throw toilet paper. Now they... I don't know if they are.
No. I wish there was games on phones. There are. Kind of isn't.
People don't have games on their phones anymore.
No, very infrequently I'll be on the bus and I'll see someone playing like a baffling Korean numbers go up like RPG thing on their phone, and that's about it.
Theo's shaking his head with disdain and looking back down to his Switch or his Steam Deck.
What happened?
Where did we go wrong? Others point out that parents overall are less inclined to let teens roam at night unsupervised. The parents have gone woke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys ever just wander the streets as teens?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's like, pretty,
hey, Dad,
it's pretty good.
I'm just going to the outside now at night time.
Just going outside with my buddies. Just going to take in a little night air, yeah. Dad. Quote, parents are more concerned with their kids being out after dark than when we were kids, said Clinton Mayor Janice Kovac. Many homes now have front door cameras, which Kovac said appears to have especially discouraged Ding Dong Ditch, previously a Mischief Night staple. Quote, it's when you ring the doorbell and run away, Kovac explained.
That is.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Mayor Janice. That's why she's the mayor, I say, turning to my husband. The origins of Mischief Night are murky, with some researchers tracing it to England in the late 18th century. It was first referenced in the US during the 1930s, according to a news article in Time magazine. While the night before Halloween, mischief tradition exists in several locations, notably parts of Delaware, Pennsylvania, and the Midwest, some say Mischief Night antics are most prominent in New Jersey. Well, you're just telling us that they're not prominent anymore.
Yeah, you just tell us it's fucking dead.
No, well, I think they're saying New Jersey's the canary in the mineshaft.
Okay.
No
like
one's
New
egging
Jersey's
the canary
dead.
Anymore.
Concerned about what this says for the future of Cheevan. A 2013 survey by a North Carolina State University researcher found most Americans had not even heard of Mischief Night.
Shame, shame, shame.
The poll found 7 in 10 US residents knew of no name for the night before Halloween, other than that it is October 30th.
They don't have the cheapest spirit.
It's very sad. God,
it's sad. It is sad.
For those who do know about the tradition of engaging in pranks and mischief the night before Halloween, there are variations on the name. While many call it Mischief Night, others opt for Cabbage Night, Goosey Night, Gate Come Night, on, Trick Night, or Devil's Eve, according to the survey. In some communities, Mischief Night has escalated in some years to more serious vandalism. In Camden, in 1991, 133 fires were set on Mischief Night that drew national attention.
That's so many fires.
That is a fucking ton of fires, isn't it?
And you're pushing mischief. You're pushing the definition of mischief with a fire.
There are still plenty of municipalities in New Jersey that set Mischief Night curfews to discourage any pranks. You can't set curfews and then be like, why aren't the kids cheating anymore?
Yeah, that's on you.
The Riverside Township Committee in Burlington County adopted a resolution establishing a 9 p.m. curfew, quote, for the evening commonly known as Mischief Night, for those 17 years old and younger, unless accompanied by a parent or guardian. You just told us that it's not commonly known as Mischief Night.
You sure did. A lot of conflicting information. Also, you're taking your dad out for Mischief Night? Taking
dad,
your mom out?
Can you? Dad, imagine how embarrassed you're going to be when you meet up with the fellas at the edge of the woods for Mischief Night and you've got your dad with you.
Your 18-year-old friends, you brought your dad. And he's like, oh, I used to go crazy.
What kind of mischief we getting up to, boys? Police in Riverside Townships are advising of possible real-life consequences for anyone getting too carried away. Quote, violations of the curfew resolution, along with any violations of the criminal mischief statute resulting in damage to property, will be fully enforced, the department posted on Facebook. The one place teens will definitely see that. Teens love looking at Facebook.
You gotta post it on TikTok.
The New Jersey police direct messaging like 450,000 teens on Snapchat.
After this, I'm straight up looking at New Jersey Police Department on TikTok. I know it exists.
They gotta have something. In Branchville and Sussex County, borough officials used to pay a sheriff's officer to supplement New Jersey State Police coverage on Mischief Night, said Mayor Anthony Fratto.
Another quote, Sopranos character.
Now, a sheriff's officer is just like a dude, right?
It's like a clerk? What is that?
Like a guy? Just like, I don't think they're like real police.
Okay.
I think it's a regular guy?
Yeah. Here's your gun.
Quote, they used to tip the outhouses over. They used to soap up the windows. They used to throw tomatoes and eggs all around the town. They were crazy kids, Fredo said.
Yeah.
Prior to his arrival in Branchville a half century ago, Fredo said, outhouse tipping was among the festivities.
I love the use of the phrase half century because it somehow sounds so much older
it's
so than
evocative.
50 years. It's very evocative. This guy's so fucking old. He's calling it an outhouse.
Yeah.
It's like it's like if I said, I was in high school over 2 decades ago.
No, it's not like that at all.
You go, oh, that's too much. That's too much. When you start saying decades.
Yeah. Yeah, like the fucked up thought that you've spent more of your life out of school than you did like leading up to the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm 30,
cogs
I'm 37.
In my head. I
turned into an adult when I was 18.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
You guys are old. I'm fine.
No, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I'm fucked. Now, Mischief Night in Branchville typically involves nothing more than toilet paper in a few trees and caution tape around cars, Fredo said. I've noticed it less and less every year. It's really calmed down, Fredo said. Do you want them doing it more or less?
These kids stealing Kias.
Yeah, these kids are cowards. You guys should shoot a cop.
Look at these kids smashing some fucking windows.
Burn a police car. You know?
Kill a man.
Kill a man.
Do some mischief. When Jefferson Mayor Eric Wilson was growing up, October 30th hijinks included smashing pumpkins on the road and occasionally lighting bags of leaves on fire, he said.
Yeah, those are stupid pranks.
Yeah, those sound gay.
Oh, my pumpkin. Don't take my pumpkin. Rotting cabbage. I need that for later. Nobody cares if you take away their rotting cabbage or their old pumpkins.
Yeah. Thanks for getting rid of that for me.
Not long after being hired as a police officer in Jefferson in Morris County in 1986, Wilson said he was driving his marked police vehicle on a mischief night patrol and got egged.
Now we're talking.
There's got to be like some of those thin blue line people who would be like, officer under fire. He would have thought someone was trying to kill him.
Yeah, those kids are getting shot.
He said his cruiser would often end up covered in toilet paper accumulated while passing so many trees and poles covered in it. I remember when I first came in, it was gangbusters. Now, it's like a nothing, Wilson said of Mischief Night. He said he is not anticipating any trouble on Monday, though at least one additional police officer will be on call if needed. We'll still prepare for it, Wilson said. Big montage and loading up.
Just loading up. Sniper rifle.
Rambo. Strapping the big assault rifle on. Kovac, the mayor of Clinton in Hunterdon County, said she had not heard of any eggs being tossed in her town since before the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Remember that, guys?
COVID took Mischief Night from us. It took Devil's Eve.
COVID has gone woke. I remember when Mischief Night was really entertaining. It was definitely soaping car windows. It was eggs, a lot of toilet paper, and generally kids having fun, said Kovac, a 1983 graduate of North Hunterdon High School. I'm not going to admit to anything, but I did know others who may have put toilet paper up at the municipal building, Kovac said. You can fucking say it. Say it.
Like...
crazy back then.
Yeah, I didn't do anything, but I kind of knew some guys that have been like pretty crazy.
I don't know just personally what the statute of limitations is on toilet papering a building, but I think enough time has passed.
Probably.
Don't think she's going to lose her job over it or anything. I'm crazy. Me and my friends are crazy. Foligno, the Elmwood Park police chief, similarly attributes any diminished interest in Mischief Night to change in times. Quote, we didn't have cell phones, computers, that stuff, he said. We didn't have Steam Decks, he said.
Yeah.
He didn't have a Steam Deck.
Imagine like a 70-year-old loser. Police chief saying, oh, we didn't have anything as good as a Steam Deck back then.
Why would I throw eggs?
We didn't have the ROG Ally back then.
I mean, like, you know, by 1992, you could get a Sega Game Gear, but the batteries really didn't last very long.
Yeah. One of my mates imported the Neo Geo Pocket.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think it's a Neo Geo portable. You play Metal Slug on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'd be playing
King of Fighters 98. That's what I'd be playing.
Yeah. Samurai Showdown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a color
one. All
kinds
of good shit. Yeah. That's
pretty cool. Foligno is making sure enough officers are available Monday night just in case Elmwood Park experiences throwback goosey night.
How about the fact that police just like shoot people now and just kind of like lean out their window and go blam?
Maybe that has something to do with the Goosey Night's decline. Is maybe the police been shooting a lot of people to death, like shooting them
with their gun, dying.
Yeah, the police really took that whole that old adage, shoot first, ask questions later, and just kind of made that rid of the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There will not be any questions.
I'd love to ask this half century guy, like, how many people he has shot to death with his gun.
To date.
Mm.
Quote, God forbid anything happens, but I don't see anything big. Maybe some noise complaints, he said, like slowly polishing a .357 Magnum on his desk. Folks, I'm here to bring you one last piece of news, and that is that you have just listened to an episode of the podcast, Punta Vista.
And it's the high energy in the bonus episodes that you keep coming back for.
It's the late night high energy.
It's the late night vibe, you know? It's after dark.
Yeah, we were bringing the late night vibes.
No mischief here. Just calming you down. Just end your day, you know?
Also, we go sleepy now.
Yeah.
It's 8:47 p.m. I am heading to bed.
Oh, maybe where you live, pal.
Yeah.
Look at this 8:47
car. Oh. Jeez. I bloody wish it was 8:47. Am I right, Lucy?
Yeah, I'd be going nutty.
I'd be getting the teepee out.
Get my chief on.
Setting a wheelie bin on fire, scaring someone's nan, you know?
I've got to go take the bin out after this.
Oh, that's a good idea. Shout out to my wife who put the bins out this morning.
Yeah.
Ooh, love you, baby. Well, goodbye.
Yeah, see ya.
Goodbye to you. Bye-bye.